Yeah, yeah. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining us as always. It is much appreciated. Rami, how are you feeling?
Good. Good.
Good.
Chilling. Doing a radio show.
Myself and my truck had a fist fight against these wind gusts on the way in. That was fun. Heavyweight fight like last night between the Bucks and the Kings. It was cattle versus the wind on the way
swaying
here.
Swaying back and forth.
My goodness, it was no joke.
It's windy out there.
It was absolutely no joke.
I gave this PSA last time we had these winds come through. Try not to park next to a tree if you can out there in Sacramento.
Yes.
If you can. I know it's hard. City parking is hard. You take what you can get, but try not to park next to a tree.
Stay away anything that might collapse.
Light pole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, try to play it safe. That's my my suggestion and advice for the day as well for all of those. All right, well, last night, Rami, we talked about this during the show. Last night was a benchmark game to me against the Bucks. This is a legitimate contender. I've said this for weeks. I've stood by this. Now I think it's approaching months. I think Milwaukee's the best team in basketball. I was saying that when Milwaukee wasn't the first seed, the top seed in the Eastern Conference. I just think they're the best team in the NBA. And what we saw last night was a Kings team that was able and capable of going toe-to-toe with the best team in the NBA for 45 minutes.
Now, hold on. You said after 20 games, you were out of the moral victory game.
Right.
That there were no more moral victories.
No.
Are we?
I have a new term. I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
I know how to describe last night's loss.
Okay. All right.
But they went toe-to-toe for 45 minutes against the best team in the NBA. Here was Trey Lyles in the postgame talking about that.
Yeah, it just shows, you know, I think we've shown all year long that we're going to fight until the end, no matter what. We play them really well. They're a championship-level team, so kudos to them. They made big shots down the stretch, and we weren't able to execute on some defensive plays and offensive plays. But, you know, it just goes to show that we're going to continue to fight all the way down to the buzzer.
We are going to continue to fight all the way down to the buzzer. Here was Domantas Sabonis on the game last night.
We've been playing great basketball after the All-Star break, you know, and to see that guys are still fired up, you know, even though that game was lost at that moment, you know, guys want to compete, guys want to come out, you know, and play to win, you know, so that's good, you know, we got to keep all that energy and increase it for the final stretch.
Rami, your thoughts on the game?
That was an awesome game, man.
Yeah.
I was in the building at Golden One Center, and that was just an awesome, awesome game and an awesome environment, and both teams put on an absolute show, and if you weren't sure, yesterday we talked about, are they on the brink of contention? If you weren't sure yesterday when we had that conversation, now, are they in a class with the Bucks? No. No, they're not. And the reasons why they're not in a class with the Bucks were on display last night and were the difference in that game. But to even come out there and, first of all, throw the first punch, and a pretty heavy punch it was, being up by as many as 15 points in the second quarter, showing no intimidation, no backing down, no standing down to the Bucks, who, as you say, Nick, are the best team in the NBA. I think a lot of people would agree with you. They have a two-time MVP championship under their belt. The Bucks, just like they said, remember after that Clippers game? And I'm paraphrasing, but they said basically Malik Monk to hell with everybody and all these superstars. Whoa, lights just went out in here.
Yes, they did. We are in the pitch dark, ladies and gentlemen.
They said, bring them on. Whoever it is, bring them on. And they showed that last night, Nick. They went to the center of the ring and threw the first punch in what was a heavyweight fight. And right down to the end, they didn't back down. Not from the team on the other side and the challenge that they presented, from the challenge of being going up against a team like that, the pressure that comes with that, knowing Kings fans and other people around the NBA are looking at this as kind of a measuring stick and, hey, what can you do? I was really, really pleased with the way that the Kings came out and performed last night from their own standpoint. I don't know how you can take much issue. Now, we nitpick things. It's what we do. It's why we're on the air 2 to 6 weekdays on Sacktown Sports.
Indeed.
But all in all, I thought they came out and put on a really good showing in what was a measuring stick game.
So there are no moral victories. And I said that, as you mentioned, after 20 games, you're a quarter of the way into the season, no moral victories. But you know what it was last night?
How's he going to twist this?
It's not a moral victory. It's a quality loss.
Oh, stop it.
It's a quality loss.
Stop it.
It's not a moral victory. It's a quality loss. It's not a victory, but it's a quality loss. You know, when you show that you can physically hang, because what I mean by quality loss is when you have certain losses throughout your season and learn from them, then I do think that's important. That's a step in the right direction. That is a step. That is progress. And last night, first and foremost, what the Kings showed was that they can be physical. And that's been a question. We have questioned their physicality. Coach Brown questioned their physicality after that Knicks game on TNT last week. I go back to Friday when we had the conversation about what Brown said, and I thought it was because Brown knew exactly what was coming up. He knew what the schedule was. He knew Phoenix was on Saturday night in Phoenix, and he knew that you'd be playing a very physical, big, long Milwaukee team. And so I was very impressed last night with the Kings' ability to hang with the Bucks on the physical level. I did not anticipate that, honestly. I thought the Bucks would have the physical advantage, and I thought, you know, when you look at things like the glass, the Kings had two more rebounds than the Bucks did last night. You out-rebounded the best rebounding team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You out-rebounded one of the most physical teams in the NBA. You out-rebounded one of the biggest teams in the NBA. That is a stark contrast, Rami, to what we saw on Thursday night against the Knicks when you were giving up 23 offensive rebounds.
How do we decipher between moral victory and, what did you say, good loss?
Quality.
Quality loss?
Yes.
How do we decipher between those two? That's just your way of not backtracking on the no more moral victories.
It's a quality loss.
Okay. And if that's how you want to term it, I'm okay with that. And I would agree. It was a quality loss, man. Now, the bench, kind of quiet in this one. But then again, so was Milwaukee's bench in this one. And you're right, Nick. When you look at the physicality of this game, the Kings were there for it right down to the end, including maybe things getting a little bit too physical. I know we're going to talk about that a little later in the show,
yeah.
But literally everything about this game, other than the final score, would make me happy as a Kings fan. If I'm watching it last night, everything
Absolutely.
Other than the final score about that game last night makes me happy and leaves me walking away from that game with a pretty good feeling about my basketball team in the big picture.
Here's what we also learned about this team. And I don't know if you could even say that we learned it, but it was really nice to see. This, as you mentioned, Rami, to you, was up until the point the biggest game of the year, the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Fox and Domas in the biggest game of the year, biggest challenge against a physical team. We saw them level up in the moment. Domas, we'll talk more about him later on in the show. He was freaking terrific. He was unbelievable.
And you could tell he wanted the challenge. He was up for the challenge, and he wanted it.
I tweeted, I think it was at halftime or late in the second quarter, that up until that point in the game, I thought that it was not only brilliant basketball from Domantas, but I thought it was flawless basketball from Domantas. I could not pick out a single mistake he made in the first half. He had no turnovers, no fouls. He dominated the paint. He was tremendous. And De'Aaron Fox was really good as well. So to see your two stars, the two guys that you're going to lean on when you get to the postseason, to see those guys show up the way they did last night against that specific team, that makes you feel good. And overall, we always talk about the lack of experience for the Kings, and we should. There's a lot of inexperienced guys on this team once you get the postseason. Guys that haven't felt the NBA playoffs, right? Last night, and you could account for this, you were there. That was a playoff atmosphere. That was playoff intensity. And you're going against a team, as I mentioned, very physical and very talented and very deep and very long and athletic. And you are in the middle of a playoff atmosphere, and there was absolutely, for the first 45 minutes, zero evidence of a meltdown from the Kings.
No, that, like I said, they didn't back down from the moment at all. And man, if there's, and this is going to sound like pandering from the local sports
Stop
talk
pandering,
radio host.
You local sports talk show host.
If there's another level to Kings fans and Golden 1 Center when the playoffs come around, it's going to be a downright scary place to play, Nick, because I was in the building last night for that one, and Kings, we've sat here and questioned, like, are the Kings built for the playoffs? People sit there and go, are they ready for the playoffs? Kings fans are ready for the damn playoffs, man. I've been in some big-time basketball environments. I was in Chicago in the 90s. I went to a lot of Bulls games. I was in the Deer District when the Bucks were winning championships. Kings fans showed up and showed out for that one last night. And I don't know if it's been, because you can't tell unless you're in it, unless you're in the middle of it. from your TV. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's been like that for every big game that they've had here of late, but man, was that a raucous environment last night. Afterwards, Chris Middleton said it's a fun but tough place to play. It's hot. He called it hostile, a hostile but fun place to play. Kings fans are ready for the playoffs. We can question what's going on the court and whether how playoff ready they are, but man, that was an absolute madhouse last night for all four quarters. It was amazing.
All right, we want your thoughts on that game between the Bucks and the Kings last night. The text line is 916-339-1140. The phone number wide open for you. Kings fans, we want to hear from you about last night's game, 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget the website, sacktownsports.com. We also have the app, Sacktown Sports 1140. And if that's not enough for your content needs, you can always swing by our incredible, impeccable YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. And when you swing on by, give us that big fat thumbs up. We'll get to your reaction. Also, in 90 seconds, the Kings' Achilles heel was its downfall last night.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
I'd like to get Chris Watkins' attention here. We have a suggestion in the suggestion box from Tony Dogs. Of course, it's Tony. Who's in charge of the graphics and fonts on this show?
What's the problem? I think it looks sharp. Cattles got the First Tech Federal Credit Union sponsorship right up there. In
yeah,
the
shout
right
out
corner.
To First Tech.
Shout out.
We love First Tech Federal Credit Union.
First Tech.
Cattles and Rami with the in black doesn't work when you have a black background.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
My background isn't black. My background is purple. Yours is the Sacktown Sports logo. I don't know what he's talking about.
I think he's talking about, no, the graphics themselves on the YouTube, which I don't get because Cattles and Rami is white lettering.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't quite, I love what it looks like.
I was going to say you're wrong.
Tony, we'll agree to disagree on that.
Maybe our Twitter handles should be up there in white. That would be cool. But other than that, no complaints.
All right. I love that. No complaints other than one that I just slid in. Just got to get one in there. I mean, I am Rami Makhlouf. I got to find something. Got to find something. By the way, quick NFL update. The Dallas Cowboys have traded for Stephon Gilmore. Interesting trade.
Oh.
So they will now have Diggs and Gilmore on the outside. So that just happened. It looks like it's a compensatory fifth round pick. We'll have more on the NFL coming up.
Talk about the Cowboys. I'm tired of the Cowboys.
We'll have more of the NFL coming up as we move along this show. Thoughts on last night's game from all of you. Again, it's 916-339-1140. The text line, the phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Let's go to some of the YouTube chat here. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. TCG says, damn it, Rami. My streak has ended.
Oof.
He's now 6-1.
That was my first Kings loss, too.
Ward, Rami, your fault for not wearing the Kings hat.
Stop it.
Hey, listen, I will say Ward is consistent. He came on, you know, yesterday, and he said, Rami's not wearing the hat. We've been on fire since Rami's been wearing the hat. Where's the hat, Rami? No hat, Rami. No Rami hat.
I had to stay neutral yesterday, man.
The big fat L last night.
I hope people understand.
The G1C. Rami brought the L last night to the G1C.
Okay. But I told y'all I didn't know which way the magic was going to work last night. I told you. I warned you ahead of time. I think the Makhlouf magic was on the Kings side in the first half. It was on the Bucks side in the second half, and from there, the players had to hash it out. You know what I mean?
TCG, by the way, says he's a graphic designer and he believes things are fine.
I'll take his word
so
for it.
So there you have it.
Tony.
Javier Flores wanted to ask this of you because you were at the game last night.
Yes.
Whether or not it stood out to you. The fact that Sabonis, not many free throws, if any.
Did he have any?
Javier says 0 free throws for Sabonis was insane.
That's, he was 0 for 0 from the free throw line. I didn't even realize that until he just said, and that's it, being at the game and reading, you know, doing all the pre-show prep. Yes, we prep for this that we normally do before a show. That didn't even dawn on me, but that I did notice he wasn't getting very many calls. And when you look at how physical that game was, especially down around the paint and between Sabonis and Brooke Lopez, that's pretty ridiculous. That's like not calling one holding penalty on an offensive line for an entire game. You know what I mean?
Mo had a tweet of a picture where Domas is dunking it, and literally, I think it's Lopez, has his entire hand on Domas's forearm.
That's probably a foul.
Yeah.
That one right there is probably a foul. I will, in the referee's defense, I thought for the most part they were letting everybody play last night, but for him to not get one foul, not one free throw on the whole night, that's pretty ridiculous. That's maybe letting these guys play a little too much.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. Look, it was a heavyweight battle for 45 minutes. Cattles and Rami here on this Tuesday talking Kings Bucks from last night. But Rami, for 45 minutes.
Lopez only had two, and he was also taking a beating on the other end of the court.
Dude literally bled from the eyebrow like Drago.
Yeah, really? So if nothing else, you can give the referees some credit for consistency, right? That's what we're always saying. If you're not going to be good and call it perfectly to the rule book, at least be consistent. And they were that for the most part last night in that game.
Okay, so look, the first 45 minutes, fantastic stuff. We gave the Kings their flowers as much as we can to start this show with a loss. But we've got to address the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter defense, Rami, was atrocious.
Which is not what we're usually saying about the Kings.
Right.
That has been...
It was bad.
That has been the one silver lining or saving grace. When we talk about the Kings and can the defense be good enough in the postseason, people go, well, look at what they do in the fourth quarter. Look at the fourth quarter. Look at what they do. Last night, that was not the case. It was the inverse. The opposite was true last night. It got ugly in the fourth quarter.
And look, Giannis is Giannis, okay? It's understandable. Giannis does that to most teams in the league.
That guy.
You know, 32 points in the paint from just him alone. It's an insane number. Giannis is a freak, and that's why he's called the Greek Freak. He's very difficult to defend. And, you know, Scooter916 says there's only a couple of guys who could stop Giannis, and he plays next to them. He's very, very difficult. Slowing down Giannis, you could expect Giannis to do what he did last night. And frankly, there's really nobody physically on this roster that can even slow down Giannis. There's just not. There's not a good matchup. Kessler Edwards is not big enough. He's not thick enough. Your bigs are definitely not agile enough and don't have good enough lateral movement and have trouble staying in front of him. Your guards are just going to get pushed over into the paint and dominated. HB tried all that he could, but HB just is not going to be able to withstand the physical beating from Giannis throughout the game. So Giannis is understandable. Something else was bugging me about last night's fourth quarter. But before we get to that, let's hear from Coach Mike Brown.
I thought early in the game we took the hit, but I thought in the second half we moved out of the way a couple of times when we could have taken the hit. So if you're going to play against those guys, you're going to have to sacrifice your body, and you're going to have to get ran over. And it might not just be one time. It might be a couple of two, three times during the course of the ball game. If you don't, you ain't going to beat them dudes because Giannis is too long, too quick, too powerful, too athletic, getting downhill. So that has to be the first priority. The second one is, you can run a second guy at him, from time to time. We didn't think that we needed to, but I do think, and it'd be interesting to go back and see it, but I do think in the second half we possibly had a couple of times where we could have taken a hit, but we didn't.
Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports. Here's my issue. Everything that Coach Brown just said about Giannis, fantastic. Everything I just mentioned about Giannis, the absolute truth. What bothered me last night was that it was not Giannis who beat you. You got smoked by Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez in the fourth quarter. Lopez and Middleton combined for 25 points and 6 dimes. Rami, those guys shot 8 of 11 from the field. They shot 4 of 5 from three-point land. The Kings gave up 43 points in the fourth quarter. Giannis only had 6 of those 43. You gave up 37 points in the fourth quarter to the Bucks others. You're not going to win when you do that. Here was Domas last night, disappointed to say the least.
Well, like I said, they're a really good team. They got a lot of weapons, and we kind of let go of our foot on the gas on some guys, in the second half, and then they got going, and they had, 37, 43, in the third and fourth, so that's just unacceptable. It's tough.
Unacceptable.
And I mean, it is unacceptable when you look at the end result, Nick, but, and you can say, like, Giannis is one thing, he does that to a lot of people, man, it's not the first time that those two guys have done. I mean, there's a reason that they won a championship, and it wasn't just Giannis carrying them to a championship single-handedly. You know what I mean? When those two guys are doing that, and you have Bobby Portis doing his thing, when those two guys are doing that, they're an unstoppable force. And yesterday we talked on the show, second time I've brought it up today, asking, do you believe the Kings are on the brink of contention, as Zach Harper put it in his latest power rankings. And I said, if we're talking about the West, they're beyond the brink. They're contenders to come out of the West. I wouldn't count them out of any series in the Western Conference. But I would stop short of calling them contenders to win a championship, because I'm pretty sure the champion in the NBA this year, and maybe even next year, you never know how an offseason shakes out, it's probably coming out of the Eastern Conference. And you're just... they're just not there yet, man. They're just not there yet on a level with a team like the Bucks. They've made huge strides, leaps, bounds, yes, in terms of where this franchise has gotten to and where they've come from. Last night in that fourth quarter, you found out why they're just not quite there yet.
This was the concern that I've had. You know, I understand the pushback, and this has become the nonstop pushback when you talk defense. Yeah, but look at the fourth quarter defensive rating. And I've said, well, look at 100 other numbers that tell you this defense is not good, right? Oh, well, if they just lock up in the fourth quarter, Nick, what's the big deal? The playoffs are different. Playing really good teams are different. Playing legit contenders are different. And last night what you saw was the 25th team in defensive rating in the NBA going against the best team in the NBA, a true contender, and you got torched. Milwaukee shot better than 71% from the floor. They shot almost 67% from three. They had 9 assists in the fourth quarter alone. They only had 2 turnovers. So that's what I've been talking about. When you get to the postseason, when the competition level ramps up, when teams are more focused and they're playing the right way, is your defense going to be able to continue to be bad through the first quarter, 2 quarters, and then all of a sudden in the second half say, we flip the switch and right, now we're going to win this game?
Right.
Because the Bucks scored more than enough points to destroy you last night, even though you scored a bunch of points. When you go against better competition, and again, we're not talking Giannis. Giannis had 6 points in the fourth quarter. You gave up 43. When you go against better competition, a better run team, more talent than some other teams, and your defense plays like they've played a lot this year, it's going to be tough to win a series. And I think last night was that reminder. You can't just turn it on against everybody.
No.
It's not how this works. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. We'll get back to the Kings, continue to talk about that game last night with all of you. And also coming up, a tweet that shook the NFL. The tweet earlier today that had the NFL talking and buzzing. We'll get to that in a minute or two. But a couple of YouTube chats about the Kings game last night, Rami, wanted to bounce off of you. Mark Lane says,
bounce away.
Maybe should have done a hack of Giannis with Lennon Holmes.
I would entertain that. If you're in a playoff series with this team and you have two guys like Lennon Holmes who you're not really using to, you know, play basketball, then use their size and physicality to A, rough him up, wear him down, and B, put him on the line, which is the one weak spot in his game. So, yeah, I might take that tactic in a playoff series.
Kyle Lewis, Herter was out of his mind last night.
He didn't get a shot after the 4:54 mark of the fourth quarter. I was sitting there. Again.
Disappointed?
Well, I didn't take sides last night. I had to stay neutral, but I was sitting next to Kings fans, obviously, and we were both like, it's been a while since Kevin Herter shot the ball, right? And he was like, yeah. And I went and looked at it after the game, the play-by-play. 4:54, little bunny 2-foot layup was the last time Kevin Herter shot the basketball the entire game. And he was on fire in that fourth quarter. I didn't understand that at all. That was baffling to me, quite honestly.
All right, we'll get back to the Kings, but there was a lot of talk and buzz in the NFL today regarding Lamar Jackson because of what Jackson tweeted out. First, there was a rumor, and apparently this is like a Ravens fan site that had the headline saying Adam Schefter reported that Jackson had turned down $200 million guaranteed. Apparently that was not what Schefter said. So a misleading headline from a Ravens website started this whole thing, because Jackson saw that headline and that story, and he quote tweeted the tweet with a picture of a guy with a bunch of hats on, obviously saying, yeah, that's not true.
Giving some, like, the side eye, like, mm,
yeah, like, mm, yeah.
That look, though.
That didn't happen. Mm. That did not happen, right? Then Jackson followed up that tweet with the tweet that everybody's talking about. And
just in case you weren't clear what the guy with all the hats making right. the funny face meant,
yes.
Lamar was like, let me explain.
So the follow-up tweet was Lamar telling us that the offer to him from the Ravens was for $133 million over 3 years. I want to go back, before I get your thoughts on that offer, Rami, to Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. Here he was last week. Of course, he's been close to this story. For some reason, the Jackson family reaches out to him to kind of get their narrative, their side of the story out. Here was Stephen A. last week.
All I know is, yet again, I heard from Lamar Jackson's camp just minutes ago after you were talking, no number 160, 180. It's a lie. The last guaranteed offer he's received in terms of guaranteed dollars was $133 million. Mm. They're saying that anything else the Baltimore Ravens said is an absolute fabrication. That's what they're saying. I don't know. I'm just letting you know.
$133 million, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports, for 3 years, Rami. Your thoughts on that offer?
And that's, let's be clear, NFL contracts are weird. Lamar isn't saying they only offered him 133 for 3 years. He's saying that's all in the contract that was guaranteed. It might be a 6 or a 7 year deal. He's just saying the only guaranteed money he's gotten offered is $133 million for 3 years, fully guaranteed. By the way, you didn't read the full text, Nick. It said 133, 3 years, fully guaranteed, sneering emoji, but I need an agent. Laughing face emoji, face palm emoji. All this is important for context. I just want to put everything out there. You know what I mean?
I was going to get to it a little bit later, but okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
But it's not good that either side is out here airing negotiations, and it's definitely not good that one side, and I tend to think it's the Ravens and tend to believe Lamar Jackson and his camp, that one side is kind of just misleading or flat out lying in the media to paint Lamar Jackson to be a bad guy or the guy who's not taking what is a fair offer. And I don't even know if that's a fair offer, that number that's gotten thrown out there. This stuff is leaked for a reason. We talked about this before. And from the Ravens standpoint, they either want to strong arm him into agreeing to something, or at the very least, if they have to part ways with Lamar Jackson, they can go, hey, we tried. We did our best. Look at the number that we offered him, even though we never said it. Somebody said that this is what we offered him. And from Lamar Jackson's standpoint, he wants to get what he's worth from the Ravens or from somebody else. And if there is some kind of divorce, he wants to leave in the good graces of Ravens fans, I would assume. It's not good for anybody to be airing all this stuff. It's definitely not good when you're lying about your star quarterback to make him look bad because you want to win the PR war. This keeps getting uglier and uglier and uglier, and I'm having a harder and harder time seeing Lamar Jackson end up in a Ravens uniform.
I disagree with Lamar about the agent part of this because it seems to me that these two sides are closer than Lamar knows or wants to acknowledge. They're not that far away. They're really not. If you look at the first 3 years of Deshaun Watson's deal, it's only, you know, $5 million more. It's for $138 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. So if Jackson's beef is, I want the same deal as Deshaun Watson, and I'm sure he wants a better deal, but the point is Deshaun Watson has the best contract in the entire NFL because the Haslams are clowns, right? So the fact that they're $5 million apart in guaranteed money through the first 3 years of the contract tells me that this is closer than, again, Jackson might understand or is being told or acknowledges or embraces. I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem like they're too far apart. And if people are saying, well, it could be a 6 or 7 year deal. We've talked about this a million times, man. What matters is the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Every contract, the last 2, 3, 4 years on the contract. Look at Javon Hargrave's contract. It's for $40 million guaranteed. In essence, it's a 2-year, $40 million deal. Okay, so take the $80 million, $84 million. That's agents playing games and throwing numbers out there. So the last couple of years of that deal would be dummy years anyway. I don't think they're that far apart. And I wonder if, like, Jackson now is so dug in. And I do have to wonder if, you know, if you're that close, it seems to me that if you had an experienced agent who, you know, could work with teams, you might be able to find ways to get closer to what Lamar wants and get this thing settled. It's closer than I thought it would be. It's much closer than I thought it would be. And as a matter of fact, I think if it's only a three-year deal for $133 million guaranteed, I got to tell you, that's a fair deal. I don't think that's a bad deal at all, because Lamar would be able to get back into free agency before the age of 30. You get $133 million guaranteed, you play 3 years, you go right back onto the market, and then you could sign a $550 million contract by that point. So I don't think this offer is outrageous in any kind of way.
I don't think they're as far apart as it might seem, as you're saying, when it comes to the numbers, when it comes to the money. And you said, I don't know if Lamar has just dug in and that's what's getting in the way here, because there is no age. I think both sides have kind of dug in, and that's where they keep getting further and further apart. Feelings are getting hurt here, Nick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this, you can say it's not business, it's not personal, it's business all you want. That is a direct reflection of what they think of Lamar Jackson and his value to the franchise. You know what I mean? So this is it very much does get personal, and feelings are getting hurt here, and pride and egos are involved. And I think both sides have dug in their heels and now are more trying to win the negotiation instead of just doing what's best for everyone involved.
And let's not forget, Lamar has missed a third of the season the last 2 years. Two straight years, he's missed five games each year.
Yeah.
So $133 million guaranteed through 3 years, I think it's a pretty good deal. By the way, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers much later in the show, but we do have an update. Apparently, Rodgers is going to be on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Rodgers will be live. So
10 a.m.
There you have
our
it.
Time.
Rodgers right. will be, yes, with McAfee. Okay. By the way, Cosi Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. A controversial firing and a classic rant coming up. Another NFL note for you. James Bradbury returning to the Eagles. 3 years, $38 million, $20 million guaranteed. Another $6 million in incentives. Alan Lazard is going to the Jets. According to Jordan Schultz, 4 years, $44 million. Lazard going to the Jets, what could that mean? We'll talk about Rodgers and everything that's going on a little bit later. Meanwhile, earlier in the show, we told you Stephon Gilmore traded to the Cowboys. The Tennessee Titans signing Azeez Al-Shaair. So Al-Shaair gone from the Niners, second level of defense. Former Niners cornerback Emmanuel Mosley signed with the Lions today. That's a one-year, $6 million deal. Darren Waller was traded to the New York Giants. A lot of stuff going on in the NFL. We'll get to all of that and more. We got Jeff Howe coming up a little bit later. We've just got a ton to get through between NFL free agency and, of course, that excellent, entertaining game between the Kings and the Bucks last night. But before we get back to sports, we'll get some other things.
Real quick, ask and you shall receive. Our Twitter handles up on the screen. Just like that. Boom. See? You think I'm a diva, Nick. I'm just always pointing out how we can be better and always just looking for little areas where we can be better. And the people here at Sacktown Sports, they hear it, they appreciate it, they listen, and they do, and they make it better, man. Look at that.
You're still a diva.
Not for me. Not for me. For you.
You're still a diva.
The Sacktown Sports viewer, youtube.com/Sacktown Sports.
Before we get to a story that interested me, from Syracuse, let's go to Mike. Mike wants to talk about the Kings. Hey, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Mike.
Three.
And I want to hear you guys. Yeah, hey. I want to hear you guys' take, because I'm all fired up.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Basically, you know, I watched the game. Allen hit the backbreak three along with Brooks. Game's over. Kings gave up. Then you have Giannis. I'm watching the game. He slow dribbles around. You know, and then he gets right next to Trey Lyles. You don't see what happened or what was said. And then he acts like some Disney character, right? Like he didn't do anything wrong. He's in shock that, you know, his buddy has his back and they're going to fight. So I feel that, you know, Lyles wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't even looking for trouble. But I will tell you that Giannis, you know, he didn't even fight. He let his teammates fight for him. And Brooke Lopez choking people, getting crazy. You know, and I was kind of excited, but I was just fired up. The Kings are back, baby. What do you guys think about that?
All right, Mike. Let me jump in. He threw the Ric Flair in there at the end.
Ric Flair, woo.
Appreciate the phone call.
Rack him.
On top. Wow.
Yeah.
Rack him.
Rami and I will tell you how we feel about Lyles versus Lopez in about 10 minutes.
That's a heavyweight fight.
You want to stay tuned for that.
They're two big boys.
Certainly interesting. Giannis absolutely did get in the way. Kind of dribbled into Trey Lyles' path last night. Where it went from there, how Rami and I feel, again, we'll let you know in about 10 minutes. But first, Brent Axe. Neither you nor I know Brent Axe.
I have no idea.
But he apparently worked for ESPN Syracuse for 20 years, and he was fired. And you might ask, was he fired because he had bad ratings? No. Was he fired because they couldn't sell the show? Sales was having a hard time? Not that I'm aware of. Was he fired because he said something that was misogynist or racist or bigoted, or did he cross some kind of line? Well, not to me, but he did to somebody. He works for, or at least worked for, Galaxy Media, which is owner of ESPN Syracuse, as well as 12 other upstate New York radio stations. CEO and President Ed Levine said Axe had gotten too negative about Syracuse University athletics. Quote, "I had a problem with the content of the show." He told this to Syracuse.com. "I'm an SU fan. I'm sorry, but I bleed orange. I'm not going to apologize for that, and I think a fair reading of the orange is appropriate. I understand Galaxy has a business relationship with Syracuse." Get this part. "That Coach Boeheim and I are personal friends, and Boeheim is an investor in his company."
Nothing fishy here.
Boeheim is part owner.
Nothing to see here, folks. Look away. Nothing to see here.
He says, Levine says, "I understand and acknowledge all of that. We've called it pretty fair, and I would argue we've been tough on SU when the on-field or off-field events warrant it. I just think over the past 6 months, it took a different tone and became overly dark and negative. I don't think that's what Syracuse fans want to hear." Now, Rami, they were 17-15 this season. They finished 10-10 in the ACC. Yeah, guy getting fired for being too negative about Syracuse.
Didn't they also put out a press release talking about how excited they are to have Coach Boeheim as part of the team, and he's going to be doing shows for him, maybe even host his own show from time to time? Isn't it strange, the timing of that? Jim Boeheim buys a part of the station. Jim Boeheim is going to be on the station, and now the guy who was just a little too tough on Syracuse basketball is out of a job. Could this be any more transparent or obvious? What is going on here? And if you're a Syracuse fan, how can you possibly ever take anything on that station seriously or without the huge grain of salt that those opinions are bought and paid for by Jim Boeheim and Syracuse University? That is, I mean, do sports talk how you want to do sports talk, but man, are you just putting it out there that you lack any and all objectivity or honesty when it comes to covering the team that you're dedicated to covering to? What a joke that is right there. You can't help but laugh at that.
We have to be allowed to have opinions in this business. And I've said for a long time, like, I've got no problem eviscerating, attacking a team if they deserve to be eviscerated and attacked. I draw the line at personal stuff. I'm not going to take personal shots at human beings that I don't know. I'll say somebody acted a certain way, but I'm not going to call a person that specific thing, if that makes sense. I could say someone acted like a jerk, not call him a jerk. He had a moment, or she had a moment of acting like a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to have opinions in this business. And the fact that Boeheim's part owner, I mean, it just, the story stops there, frankly. I mean, there's nothing else more to say than the guy's part owner. Like, and the guy who runs the station, the guy who owns the station, along with Boeheim, is close friends with Boeheim. Like, what are we doing here? Just rename it Orange Radio, get the pom-poms out, hire somebody who's going to say nothing critical, and move forward. Like, and the guy lost his job because he was, I would imagine, telling some truths that people did not want to hear.
Dude, even if he leaned on the negative side, it's his job. It's his show. Like, you hire people to give opinions. If you didn't want that, then why hire anybody but just puppets and robots and people who are going to go out there and parrot the things that you want them to say? It's an absolute joke. And it adds to the absolute joke of Jim Boeheim's entire relationship with the media throughout his tenure at Syracuse. If you weren't on his side, then you were absolutely the enemy. And I know that, like, the people are going to throw flowers at Jim Boeheim on his way out of college basketball after he retired, even in a weird, hostile way with the media last week. Like, even that was weird and hostile with him. I say good riddance, man. Like, I'm sure he did a lot of good for Syracuse University and a lot of kids who passed through that program. But you could have done that without being a jerk to people the whole time and all along the way and punching down and belittling people who clearly don't have your status or your power. Good riddance to Jim Boeheim. And this is just another sign of how the guy operates.
It's embarrassing. And if I was a listener to that radio station, I would never listen again.
Ever. No.
Because it's almost like state-run media, right? Foreign countries.
Right, exactly.
Like, you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get true opinion. You're going to get the rose-colored glasses version of everything. Like, you and I, our job is not to tell Kings fans what they want to hear. Our job is to have opinions based off of research and watching games and doing our work.
Yep.
You can disagree with it, but that's what it is. I'm not going to come on here and just say, oh, the Kings are the greatest thing in the world when I don't believe it. I tell you how I feel. And then it's up to you to agree or disagree with me, and hopefully at the end of the day we can move forward and enjoy each other's company on the radio.
Are you with me? He's just a miserable dude. Never could stand Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, he's
glad he's gone.
Miserable. All right. Just had the call. I said we'd talk about it. Trey Lyles versus Brooke Lopez. The fight. Did we like it or not like it?
Ring the bell.
It's coming up next.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.